Hello, my name is Cyrus Smith, and I'm here with Spring Washam, a meditation, dharma, and spiritual teacher. She's a founding member of the East Bay Meditation Center in Oakland and is on the Teachers Council at Spirit Rock Meditation Center in Whittaker, California, where she teaches retreats, workshops, and classes. Spring has two upcoming events for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day entitled The Great Turning, Prayers from the Heart, a Transformational Community Celebration. Proceeds from these events will go towards seed money for the Sujata Project, her new vision centered around spiritual retreats for women of color and low-income communities. So, hi, Spring.
Hi, Syra.
Welcome. So, you've been practicing for over 15 years, practicing meditation. And in the Western meditation community, it's only beginning to blossom in terms of developing a diverse sangha. So, what's it been like as a woman of color practicing in a culture where women of color are not represented very strongly?
Well, I think that's a great question. And, you know, I think one of the things as being a teacher, a Buddhist-based teacher, teaching mindfulness, teaching meditation, teaching yoga, all of those types of things are, you're right, women of color and people of color are underrepresented. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in some ways, meditation, you know, it just came in the 60s in a way. It's been this huge wave. And the first wave of those teachers were upper middle class Jewish teachers. Mm-hmm. You know, that's sort of the first wave. And now we're finding that the second wave is hitting. And so many communities of color are interested in meditation, practicing, learning mindfulness. I mean, you don't have to be a Buddhist to get value out of hearing the teachings and learning how to work with your mind. I think that's the thing that's intriguing for people, is working directly with their mind. For me, it was a bit of a struggle. You know, as a younger teacher, I was a woman teacher. In every religion, there's sort of the old boys network. Mm. And so you're breaking ground. Mm-hmm. And you just have a lot of confidence in yourself and a lot of belief and a lot of your own practice, you know, comes into play. And you just work with it and you blaze new trails. And I feel like in some way I'm always doing that, charting my own course, taking the teachings and sharing them as best I can. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's happening now. There's this flowering and flourishing because people are just going, you know, with it.
At the East Bay Meditation Center where you teach, sanghas and sitting groups were started specifically for the LGBT and POC communities, I believe in an effort to make meditation more accessible for those groups who are generally not largely represented. Why is it important, in your view, to have retreats specifically for women?
Well, I think the idea of having these affinity groups is a powerful one. Because as people come into learning how to meditate, what they're doing is they're entering into sort of a path of healing. And as they start to work with the mind, they can encounter all kinds of traumas, all kinds of feelings. And one that comes up a lot is the feeling of safety. So we started the East Bay Meditation Center, and we decided to outreach to groups that are typically marginalized. So, okay, instead of keeping people of color out, we say, great, we're having a people of color meditation, you know, or lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender folks in our Wednesday night sangha. This is a group that has typically been pushed out, left out of spiritual communities. And so we really wanted to kind of, I guess, pick up the flag, plant the flag, that might be better, and say, you're welcome here. We want to share these teachings with you. We want you to feel welcome here and included. So we realized that when we gave a special invitation to those groups, they came out in huge numbers. I mean, our sanghas are thriving, our classes. We just moved, as you know, that center to a bigger location. So when the same thing holds true with women, is that there's a certain amount of work that women need to do on their own with one another in the safety of that environment. So it's not that when we say, oh, we're having a women's group or we're having a people of color sangha, that that's excluding anybody, although I know it feels like that to some people. Mm-hmm. And there can be hurt feelings or misunderstandings or people feeling like you're segregating, you know. But it's really about what is going to create the safest environment for people to heal and to share about what's happening in their heart, what the stories are, what's going on. They can let tears go. They can be in an environment where they can really do that inner work. It takes a certain container, and that's what we're interested in. Eventually, we would love to do away with all the groups, right? And we're just one. Yeah. But we're not quite there yet. And so we need to have these these groups that is supportive. And I also love the idea of men's groups. I know a lot of men feel that that's really powerful to be in a men's group. So the women's group, you know, we talk about things that are very personal and very sensitive. Mm-hmm. And we find that that healing work happens in those supportive containers.
Beautiful.
Thanks.
So you talk about the great turning as being a time, and I'm going to quote you, to turn towards a life-sustaining model of community, generosity, and interconnectedness. Can you tell us what you mean by that and what this time represents for us as we go toward the solstice?
Well, you know what? I actually got that quote from Joanna Macy, and I think I added in generosity. And really, Joanna Macy, who is an amazing teacher here in Berkeley, she's an ecologist and scholar and Buddhist teacher, she really coined that phrase, the great turning. And I'm kind of borrowing it from her because I love the idea that there is a great turning happening on the planet, and many people are feeling tuned into this. And I know we've been talking for years in all kinds of spiritual community about the end of the Mayan calendar, and, you know, this is in the air. We're all kind of co-creating some kind of, you know, shift, and I think it's real. And but what I've seen more and more is this shift more into a generosity base model of living where things are shared and traded and bartered, and more a shift from this fascination with capitalism, or some kind of change seems to be happening in the environmental movement and the equality movement and the gay rights movement, and everything seems to be coming to sort of I guess you could say ahead. And for me, I think this is a positive thing. But as I look around in the world, we are moving more into creating communities where people are living together, growing their own food, sustainable living is sort of, it's not just groups living out on the fringe. This is a mainstream conversation, is how do we live sustainably? This conversation wouldn't have happened 10 years ago or even 20 years ago. This is a new shift in consciousness. And so I love that. So I love this term, the great turning, and it's about marking this time, marking this shift, and doing it really consciously, calling it in and praying for that and supporting that. This is a shift that will help the planet and also will help us lead happier, more sustainable lives.
So the Steve Johnson Project is your new project, primarily in its envisioning stage. So tell us about your vision for this.
Well, again, the Sujata Project came out of a longing to do smaller groups. At Spirit Rock, as a teacher there, we teach large Vipassana courses. So in our courses there, we have up to 100 people. So Sujata Project was really birthed out of this idea of, what if I took groups of 20 to 30 women and we went up to the forest and we rented small venues, or I actually decided to get a piece of land and put up a yurt and have housing. And we started to lead retreats there. And they would be really specifically around healing trauma, focused on women who really didn't have access to that. You know, these other types of retreats can be very expensive. And there's all kind of barriers, you know. And so this would be somewhere local, right in Oakland Hills, somewhere we could go pick up people, removing all the barriers, you know, no fees and that kind of thing. So the Sujata Project is really in the very, very beginning visioning stage, but I feel a lot of passion for the project because I know the beautiful work that happens in one day. So I'm imagining what 3 days of more time and really going deeper in the teachings and earth-based work, being on the land, kind of coming back home to yourself. So I hope to create this new retreat center with that in mind and those populations in mind.
So you just touched on it on the next question a little bit. You talk about healing ancestral trauma through earth-based and indigenous practices. Can you tell us more about that and what you mean?
Well, you know, when we talk about healing ancestral trauma, it's first to say that every human being has ancestral trauma. But for a lot of people on the planet, you could say for people who are really in groups that are they're heavily marginalized. So if we look at gay men in the South, or you think about a woman of color in East Oakland, there's a lot of racism and homophobia, and it's created sort of a collective trauma. And we're all tuned into that. And also we can look and we can see generations of families who are suffering the same trauma, you know, cycles, five generations of alcoholics or domestic violence we see runs in families, that's notorious, or sexual abuse runs in families. And so what I'm really interested in, as always, as a healer and a teacher, is to how do we learn to break the bounds and the bonds of this kind of ancestral trauma and heal it and stop it so the future generation, we're handing down wisdom. When you take women out on the land and you pray together and you sit together and you sing together and you meditate together, things happen. Things become, you know, they're evoked, you know, and we heal through that. And so I've learned through my own practices that a lot of these things happened returning to some of the indigenous ways. And you're seeing a resurgence of Sundance circles and drum circles and a lot of people gathering in circles to sing and dance and celebrate community. Yeah. People are finding great healing and a lot of comfort in these practices. In some way, the shamanic path is a beautiful path. And one can say that Buddhism is also very shamanic. It's working with the mind, you know, mind and body. And so we're sort of combining two beautiful practices, sort of the earth-based ritual aspects. You know, we do a lot with water and cleansing and letting go. And then tuning into our own inner wisdom, but really focused on the earth, our relationship to the earth, being on the earth, in the trees, out of the concrete, getting in the forest. A lot happens just by going there, you know. We all feel that shift. So that's kind of just to put it in a, you know, a two-minute answer.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so what are the Great Turning events, the New Year's Eve event and the New Year's Day event? What is that about?
So the Great Turning New Year's Eve and New Year's Day event, I'm really excited about these two events, and I've been sharing them with everyone I know, all my friends, everybody who will listen. I really want to celebrate, you know, as I talked earlier about this great shift that's happening on the planet, you know, with any great shift often comes change, and that's really difficult. And that means letting go of old systems, old thoughts, old ways of being, ways of living, how we see ourselves. So these shifts can often be a bumpy. So I've been telling my friends lately, hang on, spiritual travelers. It's a bumpy ride going into 2013. And you may out there in the audience may be feeling that, of going through all kinds of different things, from breakups to job shifts to sorrows that, you know, grief that's coming that you never really touched into before. So the Great Turning is about making this shift consciously and celebrating it together, that we can, the shift is also moving from this kind of individualistic mindset to a collective mind, a community-based mindset. You know, we are one versus I'm alone out here. So I wanted everyone to gather and to celebrate and pray and laugh and sing. I think this is part of the whole shamanic path in the indigenous ways, is gathering four amazing musicians, inviting them, and we'll have wisdom, teachings from some of our elders, like Joanna Macy, and hopefully Reverend E, if she's up for it, the pastor at East Bay Church of Religious Science, and Drew Dillinger will come read some of his poetry, and we'll weave a whole evening of songs, celebration, prayer, and meditation with sound and lighting and imagery, all to help evoke this kind of, I guess you could say, shift together, that we'll pray our way in, sing our way in, laugh our way in. So these events are celebrating that. So I am asking people, if they're interested in coming, to bring your drum and bring your rattle. Be prepared to sing. This is your event, your prayer ceremony. But it's going to be a lot of love and a beautiful occasion. So I want everybody to come. New Year's Eve is going to be at the East Bay Church of Religious Science in Oakland, over off 41st and Telegraph. Doors open at 7:30. You can get a ticket. And then we decided to make the whole event happen the next day. Again, keep it going, New Year's Day. From 12 to 5, we'll be at Skyline Community Church up in the Oakland Hills in a beautiful location. So you can come celebrate with us New Year's Day or New Year's Eve. And again, I just really want to invite everyone who has ever prayed about this, the safety and the well-being of our planet, to come bring your prayers, bring that energy and that passion that you have. And we all want the earth to be our altar. And so in some way, we're going to visualize that and sort of bring it in and bring ourselves into this new year and this new shift with a lot of love and light and wisdom.
Beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
I just want to remind people that all proceeds from the Great Turning events will go towards Seed Money.
Yes, every dollar.
For the Seed Jata project. And if you'd like more information on Spring Washam, her teachings, or the Great Turning events, you can visit her website at www.springwashum.com. Thank you so much, Spring.
Thank you, Syrah. It's been wonderful.